Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Great to have all of you here. Really appreciated George Kliokoff joining us a minute ago, the commissioner of the Pac-12. Very impressive. And let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Hal Raines will join us in a few minutes, the former executive editor of the New York Times. Let's check in with Tanner in Georgia. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, brother. Paul. That rings through my head continually because I listen to your show so much.
Thank you.
It's a good thing. No problem. CFP, Saturday versus Monday. How many football games do you watch during the year on a Monday?
Well, I start many. I don't finish very many, I can tell you that.
Exactly my point, which leads me to being a longtime Georgia fan. There's nothing more that I wanted to just savor the flavor of that championship, but time I got to bed, it was 1:30. Time I watched some, you know, highlights. I don't know what time the official kickoff was. You know, the official time.
It was about 8:20, and it ended shortly before midnight.
Exactly. That's way too late on a Monday night.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And I, you know, college football gambled on Monday night. I don't know where television fit in because it follows Monday night football. And there's supposed to be something magical about that. But I think starting the game at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night or something, there's a reason why
exactly.
In the Eastern time zone, the Super Bowl starts at 5:30 on Sunday because it ends at 8:45 at night. And I know maybe if you're in Los Angeles, it's still pretty early, but a tremendous percentage of people in this country live in the Eastern time zone.
Right. I mean, as a football fan, tradition, I get up on Saturday, get my coffee, and I watch game day at 9 o'clock.
Right.
That's just, you know, that's the thing I do. And to watch it on a Monday was the most unnatural thing. It felt so unnatural. And I watch the championship every year. But being the team that's in the game, all of a sudden, it's like you say, it's been 41 years, so like I wanted to lick the bone, you know what I'm saying, of this championship.
No, I understand, we were all kids once, but it is not fair to young kids who are very impressionable. My parents would let me stay up and watch games, but. Midnight, that's pretty late. Hey, thank you very, very much. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
What's up, my friend? You doing okay?
I am. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, what a week, huh? I mean, we had, since last Friday, I believe Jim got flushed. We've had some callers call in about the voting rights bill, giving their opinions, very respectful towards each other. And we've had three guys come out and tell what a horrifying experience they've had behind bars. What kind of week more did you want, Paul?
I would say for the middle week of January, which can be challenging. It's a dreary time of the year, and if you don't follow the NFL, very little is going on. This has been one of the wildest weeks in the history of this show.
I think if we come up with a name for this week, and maybe you can come up with one differently if you was writing your headlines of the paper, maybe we could call it like sand through the hourglass. These are the days of the Feinbaum caller lives, Paul. What a week. But my question to you is about the Kentucky-Auburn game this weekend. It's not, and I'm a Bama fan, but I think Auburn is the best team in the country. Who you got this weekend and why, Paul? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I don't think anything's going to change this weekend. Hey, thank you for the call. Dale is up next in Georgia. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Paul, I'm a little worried about Daryl from Columbus, Georgia. He asked a question yesterday as he hung up. Makes me wonder what's going on behind closed doors. He asked, if a couple in Alabama were to get divorced, would they still be brother and sisters? Well, of course they would, Daryl. I mean, I had a sister that got divorced in 04 and a brother that got divorced in 06. And they were still brother and sister.
Right.
Now, I don't know who's marrying who in Daryl's family. I don't want to go there. But it makes me a little concerned about it. And also, you discussed Phenix City, Alabama versus Columbus, Georgia. Well, there's Chattahoochee River between the two cities. And downtown of each city, the Chattahoochee is less than a quarter mile wide. But I'll say this, Paul. It kind of reminds me of the Northerners and Southerners. You know how Northerners like to look down on Southerners and they think they're smarter and they think they're brighter and all this? Well, that's kind of the way Columbus looks at Phenix City. But nobody ever leaves Phenix City, Alabama, comes to Columbus. But people are starting to leave Columbus and good numbers head to Phoenix City. So that's all you need on that conversation right there. And, Paul, could I ask you one question before I hang up?
Yes.
Have you ever made a sharp right-hand turn or a sharp left-hand turn and broke our man's nose?
I have not, but I plan on it. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Matt, who is up next. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Here, Matt. So let me try JK in Birmingham. Hello, JK. Go right ahead.
What's happening, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, man. Long time no talk to. This is JK from Beeham, a.k.a. the Bama hater. You know what, Paul? I've never heard so many subjects on this show until Alabama get that butt whooped by 15 points. I've heard all types of subjects. Now, Jim and Liz and they quit the show. We know why Legend quit the show. He can't take that loss. He can't explain it. His turn to kiss the ring, and now we want to hear his story about life behind bars. We don't want to hear all that. We sympathize with you, but we don't really want to hear that. We want to hear him give credit where credit is due to Kirby Smart that didn't choke one out of five times. That's where the credit is supposed to be. We don't want to hear all that other stuff. And I blame you. Yeah, I blame you, Paul, for Jim and Legend always quitting the show. If they didn't have that secret number to automatically get in every time they call four and five times a day, they wouldn't have to quit the show.
Are you asking me to plead guilty to that charge?
You don't have to plead guilty, but, hey, the handcuffs are already on you.
I would say I'm trying to wiggle out of them right now.
Hey, Paul, I heard a guy trying to put you on the spot and get you to answer questions. Doesn't he? You're the person that put people on the spot. You're not going to get on that spot and answer any question that you're not obligated to answer. He should know better because here you are. You guaranteed Alabama win in the SEC championship game. And then you flip-flop, and you change to, you pick Georgia for the SEC, then you flip-flop and pick Alabama for the championship, and you were wrong on both ends. So there goes your expert opinion. I keep telling everybody's opinion is everybody's opinion. We're just guessing, just like the other guy. There are no experts in this thing called college football or sports because nothing is guaranteed.
Well, J.K., that's about the only thing I agree with you during this conversation. None of us ever know, and those who act like they do know are fooling everyone. Thank you for the call. We will take a break. We'll continue the conversation. We've had some great guests already with Pete Thamel and Mario Cristobal. Hal Raines, one of the most respected journalists of his and many generations that followed, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction?
Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. We've had a lot of conversation about things, and quite frankly, I think we've missed the point. We ended up discussing garden variety politics as opposed to trying to understand what was really behind Nick Saban's letter the other day to his boyhood friend, Senator Joe Manchin. We decided to maybe try to understand the historical context of what this all means with somebody we haven't had a chance to talk to in a while, but we are delighted to welcome back to the program the Pulitzer Prize winner, the former executive editor of the New York Times. And before all that, somebody who grew up in Alabama watching the legendary Paul Bryant intersect with the politics and the times of the 60s. And Hal Raines joining us. Hal, first of all, great to welcome you back. How are you? Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Paul. I'm great, and I'm honored to be on at the end of this spectacularly invigorating week of Feinbaum Radio.
Well, thanks for it. Yeah, you being a great critic, I take that in the spirit that it was met. I'm so glad to have you on this subject, because I have quoted you constantly over the years in relation to a piece you did many, many years ago in the aftermath of Coach Bryant's retirement and subsequent death, about him being slow to change, slow to react to the times. And the times were rather ugly in the state of Alabama with the governor of that moment, George C. Wallace, and the politics of that era as well. And I've wondered about it because you were there, at least had a very good view, but now we're seeing something else, and I'm not trying to draw a direct line between Nick Saban and Paul Bryant and the politics of then and now, but I really do want to get your thoughts on Saban today and perhaps why he did what he did this week.
It's a fascinating subject, Paul. As you said, when Coach Bryant retired, I wrote a piece in the New Republic entitled Goodbye to the Bear. And in it, I acknowledge that he had been slow to integrate his team. But I also said that he gave us a role model for young Alabamians to be proud of by his dignified behavior when George Wallace was embarrassing the University of Alabama with his stand in the schoolhouse door. And, you know, if you look at Coach Bryant's career, the only blemish that you see in his biographies and in the television documentaries about him was that slowness. Now, I think he made up for it by the example he set once he integrated his team and went on to a series of championships in the 1970s. Now, I think that Nick Saban, as a student of history, understands how important legacy and example are for the coach of the University of Alabama. I was surprised last week or earlier this week when I heard some of your callers criticizing Coach Saban for writing a dignified letter to Senator Manchin, a longtime friend, which he signed along with the Blue Ribbon panel of other West Virginia athletic heroes. And I have to say, I go back a long way with the subject of Alabama coaches being criticized. I was in the stands at Legion Field in 1955 when head coach Ears Whitworth was booed for keeping Bart Starr on the bench. So there is some background here, and it struck me poor Ears was the worst coach in Alabama history. Why would the best coach in Crimson Tide history be criticized for doing his civic duty? And I think there's several dimensions to this. One is Alabama, which I love, where I was born, where I grew up, where I started my career. My first newspaper story in the Birmingham Post-Herald was about the Alabama-Auburn game of 1964. By the spring of 1965, I was covering George Wallace at the peak of his career. So, and the thing that stands out to me is that for all the virtues of Alabamians, we don't have a tradition of our public figures stepping out and taking a civically responsible position on government issues that have an ethical dimension. And that was what Coach Saban was doing in signing that letter along with his other West Virginians. He was being a role model that I think is a positive one for the state. And I think that sometimes we forget the dimensionality of this extraordinary coach. He's not just a football coach. He is the most significant public figure in Alabama today. And he is a role model, not because he wins championships, or not only because he wins championships, but he is a successful businessman. He's a civic leader in Tuscaloosa. He is a practicing Christian who demonstrates his faith by the many millions he and Miss Terry spend on charitable activities in Tuscaloosa and Alabama. So this is a very deep, intelligent, thoughtful man. And so I just wanted, I've only tried to dial in a couple of times in all the years I've known you and the hundreds of shows I've listened. But I did try to dial in this week because I wanted to point out what I think Coach Saban was doing. And in political terms, I think it's hard for Alabamians sometimes to adjust to this because we don't have a tradition in this state of our civic and business leaders speaking out on controversial subjects. That's the reason that Birmingham, for example, fell so far behind Atlanta in the 1960s, because our leadership class was not doing its civic duty. And I think I personally salute Coach Saban for that, not simply because I agree with what he said in that letter, but also I salute his example as a positive role model for Alabama. And I think, if I may add, I don't want to offend your audience by dabbling in politics myself, but as the head of the Crimson Tide Nation, Coach Saban represents a broader constituency than do our elected officials and our legislature in Montgomery, which respond only to the most conservative segment of Alabama population. And so I think, you know, the Saban years have been a tremendous benefit by building a biracial constituency for Alabama football. And I think that's positively affected the civic life of the state.
Talking to Hal Raines, the Pulitzer Prize winner, grew up in Alabama, master's from the university, distinguished alum of that school and others. Hal, in the summer of George Floyd in 2020, Coach Saban marched with his team during a Black Lives Matter rally, caught considerable criticism here and elsewhere, so far that so much that his own daughter went to social media to defend him. We had callers here who said they'd never support the team again. And I'm curious, because I don't think any of us know other than maybe Nick Saban, if that didn't affect him, or how do you think maybe that led to what he did earlier this week?
That is a very fascinating question, Paul. My own view is one of the benefits of being Nick Saban is little like one of the benefits a quarter century ago or more of being Bear Bryant. These guys don't have to look over their shoulder a lot. They have the luxury of standing up for what they believe in. And I don't think that the criticism on the Black Lives Matter issue affected Coach Saban. But, you know, I'm not inside his head. I think what is important about this moment is let's address it in terms of its nowness. It is a fact that the policy of the Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, and Mitch McConnell, the leader of that party, to suppress voting. They want less minority voting. They want less voting in general because they perceive that a broader constituency will benefit the other party. What I think Coach Saban pointed out was that we will have a healthier democracy when we make it easier for people to exercise the franchise.
Hal, before you go, I want to go back to those days of you growing up, watching the changeover to Coach Bryant, and remembering back to that New Republic article, which I happened to quote a few weeks ago in an address in Alabama, because it's some of the most beautiful language to ever describe what it was like to be young and full of whiskey, watching the bear roam out onto the sidelines. But you had something in there that I've never been able to forget, and I kid you, because I thought the same thing a couple of days later after that article came out, or a couple of days earlier, sitting at Coach Bryant's retirement, that it would never be like this again, because it didn't seem like it ever would. And I just, I'm most fascinated by that aspect of having read that at the time, having experienced it and lived it, and to be talking about what we're talking about right now on the football field.
Yeah, that, you know, that, like the Alabama-Georgia game, that should have taught me to be aware of predictions. I said it could never be as good again, and I was wrong. And, Paul, as you and I have discussed, we are extraordinarily lucky, people of our age. I was born in 43. I believe you were born in 55. We both started our careers early at the Birmingham Post-Herald, a great place to learn about Alabama. And we are extraordinarily lucky in our generational niche to have seen these two history-making dynasties in one lifetime. I'm so glad I was wrong about that. And frankly, nothing has surprised me more. But I don't know Coach Saban. I doubt if he knows anything about me unless he's read something I've written. But I want to exhort Alabamians to enjoy this moment, because my guess is we won't see it again. If we do, I won't be here to see it. But this has been an extraordinary period in which we've been ringside to the careers of the two greatest football coaches of their centuries.
Hal Raines joining us, and I could listen to this all day, and would like to one day. Hal, thank you so much for coming on. We are deeply appreciative, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Hal Raines, former executive editor of the New York Times, growing up in Alabama with a unique perspective. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Great to have all of you here. Let's get some phone calls in as we are heading for the hills on this Friday afternoon. Azium is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
Aslam,
how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I think that was a great interview with Hal Raines. I think he gave a true perspective of Alabama football and somewhat of the state itself. But, Paul, I've listened to you on many days, and I've listened to some of the opinions that come across your show. First of all, I cringe every time I hear somebody mention about the contribution of Bear Bryant to race relations. First of all, your interview with Hal Raines, he has about 4 years in age on me, so you know I've seen, heard, and been a part of a whole lot of things. I am from L.A., Lower Alabama. I was a sophomore in college in 1967 when you had the four black players who had gone out for the Alabama football team. I had schoolmates that were from the Birmingham area that came back from their conversation with some of these players as to what had gone on during their brief attempt to play football at Alabama and the role that Bear Bryant took or did not take. And those guys, pretty much, as history will state, they had to leave. The team no longer participated. So with that being said, I don't really give Bear Bryant credit for anything from a race standpoint. It was about football. Football has contributed to a lot of the integration measures, i.e. the state of Mississippi. They left church to go to the state capitol so they could vote on removing of the flag so they could have football players. It wasn't for the right reason. So moving on from that, Nick Saban, I salute him for standing up, and he's taken the position that he has taken. And if you listen to all the vitriol that comes from this, and if you dig deeper into it, you know where it's coming from. But anyway, I just wanted to make those comments. I am off. I listen to your show daily. And if you have any comments, please give them. Thank you.
Aslam, thank you. Yeah, I was not there like you were, but I've heard varying views of that. And I've always been told that Coach Bryant tried to integrate earlier, but he also wanted to make sure that it went well. He did not want it to set the program back. So I thank you for your call. Thank you very, very much. Jerry is in Mississippi. You're on the air. Hello, Jerry.
Oh, the guy from New York Times on a few minutes ago, he just about alienated half or more than half of your listeners. I do not understand. I'm a Republican, and he downed the Republicans, and he said we don't want people to vote. No, we want people to vote honestly. We don't want to mail ballots to every house and just say y'all send it in and somebody come pick it up. We want legal votes. So that he's just. Well, New York Times, everybody knows, and the Washington Post.
Well, Jerry, I'm not really here to discuss politics. I brought in Mr. Raines from a historical perspective. So, I mean, I appreciate where you are. I know a lot of people agree with you, but I'd rather refrain from going right back into that rabbit hole. Bob is in Cincinnati. Hey, Bob, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. I'm a Kentucky guy, and just to flash back, I think it was last season that John Calipari went out with his team and knelt at the national anthem because
that
his team wanted to do that. And I have a feeling that this has been characterized, I don't know correctly or incorrectly, but this has been characterized, the voting bill, as something for black voting rights. And I can understand why Coach Saban would think that this is something that he might do that would be in concert with his players.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part of this, and I'm asking somebody to give me his opinion based on what he previously knew, but none of us know what was in his mind, and I don't know if we are going to know. I think it would be helpful. He may have done it for other reasons than from a historical standpoint. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Steve, who is in Alabama. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Paul, and it's so good to hear from you. I've never got to speak with you before.
Well, thank you very much.
I enjoy your show. I watch it all the time. And I went overseas, and I fought over there so that people could vote for who they wanted to. And but I will say this right here, that Mr. Raines, I'm proud he don't live in Alabama and can't vote in Alabama. I just disrespect him. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I just don't like the man, the way he talked. You know, you can be for who you want to. But, you know, just my opinion, I think that he needs to stay off there and quit putting politics on there because it's none of his business what to do down here in Alabama.
Well, he happens to live in Fairhope, Alabama. Jim is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I watched your show for a long time. I haven't called in because I really didn't want to contribute to a bunch of fools. But this guy that you had on that was a prize winner, supposed to be from Alabama, he's a nut job. And you showed that you are a Democrat as well as him. Now, this bill that they're trying to get across, it doesn't help voters. It takes away from voters. And you really need to sit down and read the bill before you start to criticize or listen.
Well, first of all, Jim,
the
bill has already
been
– the bill is not going to pass, so I will take my time before I read it. I was most interested in the Nick Saban part of it. I wasn't really interested in debating McConnell versus Schumer and adding Joe Manchin. And my only interest was not political. I was surprised that he did it, surprised that Nick Saban did it, because I'm going to stay out of it because I've already been accused of too many other things. But we will take a break here. More of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back, and Ron is up next as we continue. Hey, Ron, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
good. Listen, it's been a long time. I used to call in when you were still in Birmingham, and I read your column in the Post-Herald.
Oh, yeah.
That shows how old I am. But enjoyed all of it. But I wanted to respond to Aslam that called in about the four black players that walked on at the university in 67. I was a freshman that year at the university. And I'm sure you saw the excellent documentary, The History of the SEC.
Right.
Doc Rone, one of those four players, they interviewed him extensively in that, and he talked about his experience and how Coach Bryant, one day after practice, he was walking by the quad, and Coach Bryant drove by and picked him up, carried him to the practice field, talked to him about he was a good player, he was strong, just very complimentary to him. Oh, and he said, but the only thing, you got to shave your mustache. And Doc Rone would have made the team, his words, not mine, but he had a death in the family, and he had to go home to Montgomery and help his family financially. Coach Bryant did not, I don't know about the other three guys, but Coach Bryant did not run Doc Rone off.
Okay. Yeah, I had not heard that version of it. But I can tell you, because I just was in Birmingham 4 weeks ago hosting an event that included all the players that did break the color barrier. And those who did in the 70s all spoke glowingly of Coach Bryant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's just complete misinformation. Totally.
Well, thank you very, very much for sharing that.
Hey, Paul, one quick thing, changing the subject, just a second, okay?
Of course, of course.
Do you remember 50 years ago when a lady named Edna called in because you had said something about Walter Sharp that played basketball at Parker?
Mm-hmm.
Do you by any chance remember that?
No. What did she say?
Oh, man, she was just carrying you high because you compared Ronald Steele and Walter Sharp. Paul, it was the funniest thing. Would you believe I still have that recording?
Oh,
my
goodness.
Hey, whenever I need a really good laugh, I play that thing.
Well, I can't believe I've forgotten it, but it may have been transference. So I just tried to get it out of my head as quickly as possible.
Man, she was eating you up big time.
Yeah, I mean, I know back in the day, the calls could go on for 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, we weren't under these television requirements now that we had to take breaks all the time. If you had something to say, you said it until you were out of breath.
And when you took the call, she said, I would like to speak with Mr. Feinberg.
That's my cousin.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Hey, thanks. I don't know. We're getting late in the day. Why not? Greg is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. And it's been an interesting week with your discussion because in my U.S. history classes, we've been talking about Reconstruction in the South and the potential it had to do some good and rectify some injustices of that era, and of course the obvious downfall that it suffered with some of this back and forth you've been subjected to. And I wanted to offer you an apology for, because I feel responsible for what's going on this week in regards to Jim. And if you'll let me, I'll elaborate on that apology.
Please do.
Yes, sir. And so Jim has been more vocal lately, and I haven't heard the latest nexus of what caused all this discussion all week about Jim and all, but he has the ability, because of his life experience, to issue some very caustic and hateful things that he has said about you and others. It's all well documented, the stuff he has said, and I have forwarded some of that to you. But he said some of that on Twitter, and of course, Twitter takes a different view of things than you or I do. And as a result of some of those things that that he posted about you and specifically Squirrel, they removed his Twitter handle, his original one.
Well, I know that happened about a year ago. So he's been removed again.
Well, no, but he mentioned it one of the times he called you in the last month or so.
Oh,
and he's had to rebuild his following, I guess you could say.
Right.
And I don't follow him, so I don't know how that's working.